As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Gooter McShoots. What's up, dude?
Little reverse order today.
That's the first time I've ever done that.
I know.
Wow.
It sound good?
Yeah,
feel
felt good.
Good.
Felt
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like.
Don't oh yeah me after
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. How was your weekend?
My weekend was lovely, actually. I had a very nice weekend. I was dog sitting, so Dev joined me on Friday at my parents' house. We had a lovely dinner.
Yep.
We hung out, watched some TV.
Good.
It was a nice night. Sunday, went to the Phils and helped them get their first win of the season. I like to think that that was because of me and my juju. So, yeah, it was a solid weekend. How about yourself?
It was a very solid weekend. I had a long weekend last weekend, so naturally I decided to try to hunker down this weekend and just relax, you know, not go too hard. And I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Nope. I went out Friday night to Buffalo Billiards.
Nice.
Which was, it's always a fun time, but it was very crowded. March Madness game's on. Saturday, I actually do want to make a shout out real quick. There was a bartender, a tradesman, that was smiling, and I went, what?
And he goes, I can just hear you. I know it probably was a little aggressive. What?
No, it wasn't even like that. Honestly, I was coming back from the bathroom, and the people that I was with were like, oh, yeah, this guy wants to say hi to you. And I'm like, what? Why? And I always forget. I'm like, what's going on? How are you? Like, he was a listener of the show.
That's awesome.
So shout out. I think his name was John at Tradesman.
Is it John? If you forgot, you're a dick.
I did not go easy this weekend. I said I was going to go easy this weekend.
No.
I was wasted.
John, I hope that's your name, dude.
John, I hope that's your name, bro. I mean, look, you might not even be listening to this if you don't watch Summer House, which is what we're going to be talking about today.
Nice.
Yeah, a little organic plug there. But yeah.
Love an organic
name,
plug.
Sorry. Reach out to us and let me know that I fucked up your name.
John from the Tradesman. I'm going to reference him a lot now.
Yeah.
That's just a fun. John from Tradesman.
John from Tradesman.
But yeah. Speaking of organic plugs, let me organically plug that our live show is coming up in just over a month, May 3rd, Union Stage. We've got Candace Dillard coming out. We've got Chris Bassett coming out. We've got Ryan Bailey from So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey coming out to join us on stage. It's going to be an absolute blast. We're really looking forward to this one. The venue is awesome. Like I said, it's Union Stage. It is a Friday night. Big venue, so bring all your friends, bring all your relatives, bring your distant relatives, bring your 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th cousins, and come out and support the bros. We're going to have a great night, so get those tickets. The link is in our bio to purchase.
Good job.
Thank you. That felt good.
Yeah.
That felt organic.
That was good. Great job.
But as you said, we are talking about Summer House. We just recapped Martha's Vineyard about an hour ago, so if you haven't started watching that show, since more of you watch this show, I'm going to plug that show as well.
It seems way better to do than to do it on the Martha's Vineyard video.
We do that a lot.
I know.
We don't.
If you're not watching this show, you better be fucking watching the show. If they're listening, they're probably watching.
I have found that a lot of people listen that don't watch the show, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
They love us.
They do. You love it. You love it. We'll feed you baby birds. Don't you worry about it. But if you're not watching Martha's Vineyard, what are you doing? It's a great show. We haven't steered you wrong yet. All right, we got a lot of people come back in season two of Soho and say, wow, you guys were right. I went back and binged all of season one. This is one of those shows. They're gearing up for a phenomenal sophomore season. It's a great cast, very likable cast. They have not been in the game long enough for this shit to be not organic. Like, all the stuff they're doing is genuine. They don't know yet to, like, play the game and set things up behind the scenes and collude with other people. Like, it's all genuine. And that's when we love these shows, when it's all real. So go back, watch Martha's Vineyard, join the craze, man.
I was with you until that last sentence.
Join the craze, man.
Yeah, no, I don't know where that came from.
Well, I got to think of things because we don't have the soundboard because it's not Miami. And I can't figure out how to use the fucking thing. So
yeah, but have you like really sat down and tried to do it?
Yeah. You know what the problem is? Honestly, I'm not that dumb. I need a SD card. That's it.
Oh.
That's all.
If only there was a very easy way to order something like that could probably be at your door within hours.
That was named after a river or something.
Yeah.
The Tigris. But let's dive into some Summer House. Let me start out with a dinner very close to my heart. I was so happy to see this dinner set up, except I have one thing I disagree with.
Okay.
They made country fried steak. It looked awesome. They made mashed potatoes. They had southern green beans. They had all of these amazing things that remind me of Texas. However, country fried steak, or chicken fried steak as I call it, should be paired with a white gravy. It should be a country gravy, which is the
brown gravy. Instead
of the brown gravy. Some people do brown gravy with the country fried steak. It's still delicious.
Yeah.
The white gravy with the country fried steak, there's just something about that combo. It's, oh man, I'm just thinking about it now. I'm about to go to Cracker Barrel. By the way, have you been to Cracker Barrel?
I've been there. Yeah, I haven't been there since we were in high school hungover going there.
Oh yeah, totally.
But we have one that's, you know,
five minutes away.
Yeah.
I told Dev about it, and she's never been there. So I'm going to take her to Cracker Barrel because it's sneaky a phenomenal restaurant.
Yeah.
People that don't eat there, like, their biscuits and gravy alone is awesome. I get their country fried steak back when I played because I ate a lot of Cracker Barrel when I played baseball.
Yeah. You graduated from Golden Corral to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Well, high school, college, Golden Corral.
Yep.
Once you get to professional baseball and you're making the big bucks in the minors, you go to Cracker Barrel. You go to fancy places. I did learn how to beat that the T game, you know, the triangle T thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like a baseball setup. Did you know that? I didn't know that until one of the waitresses
in
South Carolina showed me how to do it. And I was like, oh, so now that's like a party trick. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Probably can't anymore, but.
Party trick?
Yeah, dude.
It's the lamest party trick I've ever heard.
You're lame.
What do? You just whip it out and you're like, check this out. And you got to set it up with all the little T's.
Well, you got to get lucky and there has to be one there. But then you can impress people and be like, watch this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
If it's there.
Dick.
I was imagining you carrying it around with you.
No. Although I did.
You guys want to see a trick?
I did have a keychain with
this game.
Sit down and watch. That's worse than like showing up with magic tricks. But while we're at dinner, we're talking to Jesse a little bit. He's had 3.5 dates this week with four different girls. And I want your opinion as a dater.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring a girl home and cook for her at home, doesn't that constitute more than a date? I would say that's more serious than just going out to a restaurant. What's your take?
I'm actually kind of more on board with Jesse. Now, it's just like a weird idea overall. I don't think that I would have said it's a half a date. I probably would just have given it a full date. But, I mean, going out to a restaurant and making reservations and doing all of this and that and whatever, that's like a full date. Early on, look, PSA to girls out there. If a guy invites you over to do a first date at his house and he wants to cook for you, it's not like a sweet thing.
He's trying to get laid.
He's trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not like you go out, you meet people in public first. Like you do all that. You don't go over to a guy's house for the first time. But I would say as far as like a date night goes, like, yeah, it's a little more intimate to cook at home, but an actual date night is out.
Okay. Fair. See, that's why I wanted your opinion.
There you go. Yeah.
But I have mixed feelings about this. Kyle brings up in front of everybody, because Craig's there, that Jesse was flirting pretty hard with Paige. And Craig had the reaction that I figured he would have. He was like, she's a pretty girl. Like, I would do the same thing. And that's what I figured. He would just brush it off. They've already vibed together.
Yeah.
Like, Craig was touching his shirt earlier. Like, they're good. And that's because Jesse's not actually a douchebag. I think I admitted it last week. I'll admit it again just to clarify. I know I had a stance after episode one, but that was because he said the comment about dating girls that were taken. I don't think he's a douchebag. I think Jesse's, he's like Shrek. He's an onion. He's got layers.
Yeah.
But the only person at the table that got really, really upset about it was Amanda. And I think that this is way deeper than Kyle being an idiot and bringing this to everybody's attention. Was it a good move? No. Was it funny for the show?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And also, we have waited a very long time the past few years for a cast in Summer House to be able to have that conversation at the table without it being World War III.
Yeah.
Like, this is finally a crew that everybody pretty much vibes together. Obviously, you have the outliers of Carl and Lindsay and their shit that brings the house down a little bit. But for the most part, this whole crew can laugh and joke and say shit like that and it not be a big deal. So when Amanda reacts the way she reacts, I don't think she was wrong for reacting that way. I just think that there's way more here, and this all goes back to the problems that they're having and figuring out what the next steps are. I think this is just like another thing to piss her off that reminds her of all of that.
Yeah, I think Kyle was just a little drunk, and he was probably already annoying her,
mm-hmm.
and then she kind of blew up at that. But I don't think that she needed to do that. I think that the answer was enough, and you could have moved on. And look, I think Kyle was just doing it because we'd been talking about it, and he might think it's a funny. He's got that in the back of his head. I mean, you know, he's been on the show for how fucking long? He's got it in the back of his head that this is a good moment for the TV show. Like, let's just bring it up in front of everybody. Let's just see what happens. Let's light this fucking candlestick.
Sure.
Go for it. Whatever.
I like that. I love that term, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's light this fucking candlestick.
Yeah. Like, we're just going to let this go, and that's fine. And they handled it pretty quickly. I mean, Jesse didn't get awkward. He laughed about it. Craig didn't get awkward about it. Paige didn't seem to really get awkward about it. So nobody was really awkward about it. You could have just let it go. Amanda getting pissed off at Kyle for doing that, in a nutshell, is like, all right, Amanda, like, come on. Let's like settle down. Everybody handled it well. It's something that we've all been talking about pretty much since the first day that we got here. We brought it up to Craig, and now Craig's fine with it. We're good. We can move on. Kyle might feel some type of way because it didn't blow up, and it kind of blew up in his face that everybody's like, Kyle,
what the fuck?
What the fuck, dude? Leave it at that. That's probably good enough. But I think you're right. I think it's a deeper rooted issue with Amanda and Kyle. And again, I think that he was a little lit and Amanda was probably annoyed with him already. So it just blew up. But it didn't. This is the funny thing. They teased this fight after like the first episode with like the coming this season from Summer House. And it was over.
Yeah.
Like Amanda blew up. She got pissed off. He got mad back at her because he didn't understand why she was mad. And then they were pretty much done with it.
Which like, is okay, fine, but that's great. Also a testament to they've come a long way for
they
it to
have,
be
yeah.
swept under the rug the next day. But I look, you can feel a certain way about Amanda's reaction. Like I said, if it's deeper rooted than that, it's hard to control your emotions. So I don't really fault her for overreacting a little bit. Like, that's her prerogative. I don't think that Kyle handled it well at all. Like, if he had said once, just once, like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
But she's not responding, so he does the thing where you can clearly tell he's agitated. He's like, will you relax? And I was like, ooh. That's when I think it tipped the scale. That's when I think Amanda's like, fuck this. Like, had he handled it a little bit better in the aftermath and been like, yeah, I know. Like, but I just want, if he had said to the whole table right there, I just wanted to do this, like, rip the fucking Band-Aid off. I'm sorry, but, like, let's just fucking do this. Mm-hmm. We're all talking about it. Let's talk about it. I don't think he responded as well as he should have, and that's what kind of set Amanda over the edge. So I don't blame her. I don't blame him. I think they're both kind of just pushing each other's buttons. I think that's what we're seeing.
But I think that's pretty much what we're seeing, yeah. And again, I'm not crazy about Kyle's reaction back to that. Like, just admit the fact that you made a dumb move to Amanda, your wife, about that, sure. But, you know, don't blow up at her because she's pissed off that you did something dumb.
Right.
I don't think it both can be true.
You're right. But Kyle and Jesse have, like, a conversation afterwards, and it's just them in the kitchen. And this is where I'm like, Kyle, dude. Come on, because he's like, why'd Amanda react like that? And Jesse is the voice. He's like, come on, bro. That's all he says. Come on, bro. He's like, look, I still love you, but like, that was outrageous.
Yeah.
You had to know that wasn't going to go great, but I still love you. And that's why this cast is awesome. That's why Jesse and West are going to go down as two of the best newbies to come to a show because of their ability to blend in and because of their ability to react correctly.
They keep a cool head when shit doesn't go their way. Or Jesse could have had every opportunity to be like, dude, like, don't do that. Blow up at Kyle, get mad at Kyle and do that. He just decides to keep the peace, keep it going. Now, it's really funny because Kyle just wanted to throw this out there and just see what happened, see if it makes for good TV, whatever, rip the Band-Aid off, make sure that the crew can move on, whatever his actual motive was. And now it turns back to Jesse's not pissed off, but he's disappointed.
Yeah.
Your wife's mad at you. Craig feels a little weird, but he's not going to show anybody. Paige is upstairs laughing about it. Nobody that's actually affected by any of this really gives a shit. But now you're sitting there like, God damn it. Like, that really just came right back at me.
It all came back in your face. But that's credit to Paige. And she's always been like this. And it's one of the reasons why I like her on the show so much. She's never in a position where she's like overreacting or she takes everything in stride and she's able to break it down pragmatically and just move on from it. She's like, it's not the end of the world. She is so comfortable in where her and Craig are in their relationship that this is a non-issue to them. And that's how Craig is too. Like, this didn't have to be a thing, but I'm glad it became a thing because this was like a funny moment. Like you said, just watching Kyle, like, fuck, that didn't go well.
Yeah.
But there's a funny quick scene in between here. And West is talking to Sierra up in the room. He's like, man, I missed on my first outfit. That sucks. She's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, red's not really my color. And she brought up an interesting point, and I had to look inward because I don't wear a lot of red.
Neither do I.
He says, red's not my color. And she goes, it's not a lot of white people's color. She's right.
She is right.
She's right. I can't pull off a lot of red. I don't even try.
I don't even try, especially in the summer because it's hot out. Yeah, you go outside. Like, yeah, you might have a tan, but honestly, it's, you know, a little red in there.
Yeah.
And then especially if I start drinking, my face gets a little redder, or I'm laughing a lot, my face is red. Then I've got a red shirt on.
It highlights everything.
Fucking shirt. Yeah.
But I never put two and two together. She said that. I was like,
she's right.
Yeah, it's not really white people's color.
Especially with West, because West is like giggling a bit.
And he's red.
His face gets red. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or God forbid they go out to dinner in the city again and it's really hot and he starts sweating.
Right. I had to think
red's
about like,
a good look.
What red clothing do I own and do I want to own it anymore?
Philly stuff.
That's it. Yeah. But even my Philly stuff, I go maroon.
Yeah.
I don't go straight up red.
I'm going a different route though, because everybody's got the maroon now and the light blue and they're going with all that. Same with the Eagles, Kelly Green.
Okay.
I'm going back to the basics.
You're going red?
I'm going red and I'm going straight, what do they call it, midnight green for the Eagles? Yeah.
I hate midnight green. I can't.
I know, but
it.
Like everybody has the fucking Kelly Green now, so I have to change.
That's why I go for like the interesting logos. Like I never wear a current logo. I always try to find the vintage ones, but I like the colors that like I love the powder blue for the Phillies.
You know
I
what we should
the
do?
Maroon.
We should get those jerseys from the 75th Phillies. Or
Cozy
Eagles
Boys?
Oh, dude.
We have to talk about that.
Can we just take a little segue here and talk about the Cozy Boys? All right. So we found out that the Phillies, for a very brief period of time, were called the Philadelphia Cozy Boys, and they wore sweaters. They were like cardigans.
They were the swaggiest sweaters ever.
So fucking sick. It must have been like the late 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah, so they were the Philadelphia Cozy Boys. I don't know where that went.
Why did we change?
I don't know, but somebody needs to start making that gear right now.
We need Cozy Boy attire.
Yeah, please do.
Maybe that can be our brand.
Cozy Boys?
Cozy Boys, and it's loungewear for men. Don't you steal this fucking idea.
Yeah, I know we put a lot of ideas out there. We've got a whole t-shirt list out
there.
Yeah,
we got a lot of t-shirts that could be
this
branded.
This one rises to the top.
Cozy Boys LLC. Doink.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too, but... Back to the show. We got Kyle and Amanda in the aftermath of everything. But back to the show. We have a night out. It's Christmas in July. I've never been a big Christmas in July party guy. I don't know about you. Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Something about I never.
It's just something different because I feel like the summer's great and, you know, you're doing stuff every weekend, but it gives you something to look forward to. Obviously, July 4th is great, but doing something that's usually in the winter, in the summer when it's nice and warm out, just feels fun.
Okay. All right, fine. It's not my favorite thing, but whatever. We see Jesse talking to a woman. And the funniest part to me was they did not blur her face. They tried to. Like,
yeah, I know.
You could clearly see her face. And I don't know if they're trying to fuck her life up. Because Jesse goes, well, how married are you? Because she wants to come back to the house for the after party. How married are you? Half a blurred face. I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
That's tough. This is going to come
back. But also, when that hit, especially on the heels of Jesse talking about, once again, you know, I just have to find the right girl. I want to be able to settle down and do this and that and whatever. And we're finally, like, we're moving away from the whole page of it all. He's not going after taking girls. And then, of course, the first night they go out, he goes, how married are you? Yeah. Which can be taken as, do you still want to hook up? Or it's... Are you straight up married? And, you know, I need to know what's going on here before we start talking.
What's the situation?
He still got her number and he was still texting her later. So it's like, Jesse, you changed a lot or no?
His reaction later. We'll wait to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will talk about it later. But while this is going on, Kyle takes it upon himself to have a conversation with Lindsay. To Kyle's credit, because he is friends with both Lindsay and Carl. Obviously, his relationship with Lindsay is contentious. It always has been, always will be. That's just how it is with those two. But he wants to be able to at least see her point of view. And as they're talking, Kyle brings up what I think is exactly what's happening. And I think it's on both sides. And I think that Lindsay doesn't want to admit it. I think Carl doesn't want to admit it either. But he says that he's got such tunnel vision on this wedding that he needs to see it through. Regardless of what the situation is, where your relationship stands, he's at a point now where it's almost proving a point to everybody. I think that she's in the same boat. I think that they're trying to prove to everyone that this is meant to be. They are supposed to get married. Yeah. They're going to push through to the finish line just to prove it to everybody and not vindicate Danielle from last season, not show everybody that, yeah, you're right in saying that we're fighting too much, all these things. I think they're both so dead set on it that they're going to do it no matter what.
Except they don't.
Except they don't, thank God.
But I mean, that's what they were doing the entire summer last year. They were just trying to prove to everybody, hey, we're in a very serious relationship.
Yeah.
This isn't just, you know, Lindsay moving on from what's his nuts? Alex? No. Who the fuck
Alex
is Cody's
Stavi?
Yeah, yeah, that guy. This isn't just Lindsay. I don't know how you remember that, and I didn't.
Because all I think about is that movie with Johnny Knoxville from way back, and there was a guy named Stavi in it, and that, like, I remembered that.
Your brain is a very curious thing.
I can't remember where I put my shoes, but yeah, Stavi.
You remember that one. Anyway, yeah, Lindsay moving on from that. Like, this isn't just a rebound thing. This isn't just, like, us trying to be comfortable with each other. Like, oh, yeah, we're friends. We should just hang out, and, like, maybe we start dating. Like, they were trying to prove everybody wrong all last summer, even though they were fighting and bringing the entire house down. Now you're throwing marriage into it all. And obviously it's very quick, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when Jesse brings that up. But here we are. You guys are doing the exact same shit. And you are admittedly talking about how Friday nights have been terrible for you because they end terribly. Carl is back in New York right now because he's avoiding a Friday night. That's not how you fix things. You don't just avoid them.
Nope.
You fix them. That's how you fix it. So him doing that, and everybody knows what's going on. It's the elephant in the room. This is what they're doing. They're just trying to prove to everybody in the house. And I don't know if Lindsay's really on board with that as much anymore, but Carl certainly is just trying to prove to everybody, hey, no, we're going to go through with this. Like, I will do anything in my power to make sure that she's okay. And I'll take any concession that I absolutely can to make sure that we can push through with this.
Yeah. And I think on paper, it's much easier to say that he should have showed up on Friday and should have tried to fix this and that and blah, blah, blah. Where they're at in their relationship right now and how they're communicating with one another, that was impossible. So yeah. I'm firmly under the belief that he made the right decision.
Oh, I think he made the right decision. It's just with the marriage looming.
Totally.
Your fucking wedding is a couple of months away and you're doing this still. It's like, eh,
that
no.
should be a big red flag where you look in the mirror. But again, they're so blinded by this, let's get to the finish line. And you know, it was interesting that people in the comments were talking about, like, oh, well, he should have been there. Like, the fact that he took it out. And then we saw the after show with West and Jesse, and they said, like, it's kind of weird that you wouldn't show up on Friday night to try to fix it. But again, I agree with the move because it breaks the cycle. And Carl's doing what he was taught to do, is try to fix things a certain way and go about it the right way. So I don't fault him for that at all. But as they start to break it down, her big issue with him is that when she drinks, and she claims that after I've had one drink, he asked me, like, how many drinks have you had? Are you drunk? This and that. I firmly don't believe that that happens. And that could be wrong. And there's people out there saying, like, we don't know Lindsay's side of the story. And it's like, I don't really have to, honestly. From what I'm seeing this summer, I really don't give a shit what Lindsay's side is. Because I think that Carl's entirely blameless? No. There's always two sides to every story. Maybe he didn't handle certain things the right way. However, what I'm watching right now is not a Carl problem. And for her to say, after I've had one drink, blah, 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 it's like, well, we watch you drink, Lindsay. I have yet to see you have a night where it's one drink and you're mellow. Every time you're drinking, it gets ramped up and ramped up. The one night that you had a good night with Carl, where you guys went camping outside and all that, you were so drunk you didn't remember the night. And it was still a fun night. I'm not saying that it went poorly, but again, I haven't seen that. So I'm going to go off of evidence that I have to deduct what I think is going on in this relationship. And the worst thing she could possibly do in this moment is be like, well, if he's going to challenge me on what I'm doing, I'm going to make sure that if he's not perfect, I'm going to call him out.
Yeah.
And I'm not the one with a problem.
No. Yeah, exactly. I'm not the one with the problem. It's the one that resonated most with me. And she's trying to spin it to look at, and this is obviously, this is what her mindset is during all of this. She is thinking, as soon as I start drinking, Carl has a problem with me. That, again, that could just be you guys not communicating at all and not talking about this, and you get uneasy when you start drinking and you're around Carl. But what, from what we've seen, from what's been filmed this summer, you start these fights with Carl.
Yep.
And I don't think that it's just, maybe you're walking in and you're anxious because you started drinking and you feel like he's judging you for that, so you're starting something with him. But don't spin it and say you're not doing anything, and then Carl's getting upset, and then you're retaliating that way. Because again, you still haven't addressed the biggest issue. What you said to him that first weekend was deplorable.
Yes.
You haven't addressed that to Carl. You haven't addressed it to the rest of the house. The rest of the house knows what you said. They've all had side discussions about what you've said and how it impacts Carl and how shitty it is. You're not doing that. You're just trying to make excuses and say, I'm the real victim here.
Yes.
That's problematic.
It's very problematic. And to use the term, I'm not the one with a problem. This one hit me really hard because that implies that you're better than. And I think a lot of people don't know that. And again, for people that haven't been through it, it's hard to understand the ins and outs of it. And I can appreciate that to a certain extent. But at the same time, when it's phrased that way, it's speaking as though because we are addicts or alcoholics or in recovery, that we are lesser than normal people. And that comes with this stigma of what addiction is. And that really sucks to hear from somebody that's going through recovery. And I hope and pray that I will be sober for the rest of my life. But when you hear certain things like that, it's already going on in your head. Okay. Like when I go out and you guys are all drinking, having fun, doing your thing, which I have no issue with at all. But there are moments where I'm like, I wonder if people look at me a certain way. And it's hard to kind of shake that. I don't know if I ever will, because it doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while I get that feeling. But when you hear people say certain things like this, and this is just a PSA for everybody out there, when you say things like, I'm not the one with the problem, and you're like proving a point like that, it makes it seem like we are lesser than you because we have a problem.
Yeah.
Rather than we've worked our ass off to be in a place where we can be comfortable around you and continue our lives and get back on our two feet and move forward. Please don't say shit like that. Don't act like you're better than us. Like, it's hard enough out here. And I thank God, like, you know, Shooter, everybody around me has never made me feel any type of way other than supported it and like I'm everybody else. But if you think that I don't have moments where I'm thinking about it, it's incorrect. So I didn't want to get amped up with this one because I have a feeling this is going to be all season watching this stuff, and I can't afford to get angry every time I hear or say some stupid shit. So instead, I'm going to take an education approach. For everybody out there, don't talk like this, please, because it does fuck us up. It's not fun to hear. I don't like to think about myself lesser than anybody because I'm very proud of myself, and I know Carl is too, and so is everybody in recovery. Don't say shit like that. It really, really sucks. My bad.
We're going to talk to you guys about our friends over at Bubbly and their new product, Bubbly Burst.
The greatest drink ever invented, and that is not hyperbole. I am not a flavored drink guy. You know this about me.
Oh, yeah.
I love, 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 love Bubbly Burst.
It's honestly, it's incredible. And if you're familiar with Bubbly, it's a little bit different. It's a different take on sparkling water. It's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, and it's got refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles.
Not to mention it's got six different fun flavors, and they taste incredible. I've tasted each one of these. They sent us some of these a couple of weeks ago. I have drank all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed every single flavor. My favorite is cherry lemonade.
Yeah, I'm a peach mango guy.
Oh, I like those too. Those are really, really good. They're so refreshing. Like when the bubbles hit, the flavor hits, it's like, ooh, like I drink them in the morning.
Okay.
I usually drink coffee and then I chug water. Now I have to start my day with a Bubbly Burst.
I love that. I'll sit down, have a little dinner, then grab a Bubbly Burst, sit down and watch my reality TV. It's the best way to do it. The pair is great.
It's a great way to end the evening. I can't like sing its praises enough, and people are going to think this is just an ad. I genuinely love, love, love this product.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. And honestly, it's bursting with fruit flavor. There's no added sugar, but there's all smiles.
So do yourselves a favor and get out there and try some Bubbly Burst. You'll thank us later.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
But back to the show. We get another scene with Kyle and Jesse, and this is afterwards where they're back at the house. You know, they left the bar, and Kyle's like, dude, I just wanted to put the paid shit to bed. Like, I just wanted to get it out there in front of everybody. Like, it's not a big deal. And Jesse's still like, I don't know, bro. Like, it's all good. They start talking about the married chick, though. And this was a big moment for Jesse Solomon.
Yeah.
because this is a moment of self-reflection from a guy that's struggling on what his next steps are. He wants to be in a relationship. He wants to have a connection with one person. And he even says, this is not the right way to go about it. But you can tell he's conflicted because he still wants to fuck.
Yeah.
But he knows it's not the right thing to do. So, you know, Kyle says to him, like, I'm not judging you, bro. Like, don't worry. But it is this interesting, like, Jesse's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he brings a completely different dynamic to the house than anyone else there. And him going out, and obviously West and Sierra, we support them because they're adorable together.
They are.
But Jesse now being the lone wolf, walking around, now they're going out and he's meeting other people. And obviously you're doing the whole, you know, I'm part of the Summer House crew. You know them. Like, we're going to have a party tomorrow. You want to come over? And you do the whole thing. And of course he's talking to a married chick right after doing this whole thing with us.
Yeah.
We've seen everything that you're going through. There's a conflict of interest. You don't really know what you want to do. You don't want to be that guy. But at the same time, you know, you're flirting with a hot girl and, you know, that's on her. Whatever the way you want to look at it, he's sitting there and we're really going through it with Jesse, watching him work through. Yeah, I can bring my entire group of friends here or I can come by myself. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, can you just bring your friends and I'll bang one of the single ones?
Yeah, like, we'll just go around that route and we'll see what happens there. Like, I don't really want to do any of this, but he does bring such an interesting dynamic to the crew and getting to see what he's doing in his own world, in his personal world, is very interesting.
But I need to know more about this girl. Like, she sees the camera. She sees the camera.
I don't know really how that works, because obviously when they go out, it's kind of like a group shot, so I don't think there's, like, NDAs being signed, but
there's not, because she was blurred, but
she
blurred.
Was blurred.
Yeah, not really. Her face was very clear. Yeah, her husband saw this.
Yeah, I don't think her husband watches unless he listens to our show.
You're
but,
telling me that nobody saw this show and went, holy shit, that's Rick's wife.
Yeah, I don't know.
I swear to God, dude. Like, I need to know more. That's poor the Rick. Shit I get stuck on. Yeah, Rick is out here. He's like, wait a minute. That's my wife. Oh, God.
They're having a real discussion right now.
He had a tough
very, day. Very tough couple of days for Rick.
Yeah, sorry, Rick. We're on your team, dude. But the next morning, we get a wake up with West and Sierra in the same bed. Cute as shit. And then we get Jesse to come in. And this is why, like, because usually I'm on your side, where when you get a house that's all paired up, it's boring. Because you don't get to have the fun. This whole cast mixes it up so well that I haven't had that moment yet where I'm like, fuck.
That was my number one fear when I saw the West and Sierra started hooking up, or at least like going
out.
You
weren't into it the first episode.
Yeah, and I liked both of them separately, so I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the two of them together, because we've seen Sierra with other duds in the house. Shout out Luke, shout out Austin.
Yeah.
And now we've got West, who we really love. I just didn't want to bring down what we've seen from West, and we haven't. Mm-mm. If anything, we've seen more from West. He seems happier. He's very in tune with everything going on. He's jumping around. Obviously, we get to see him in a little go-kart thing a little bit later, but nothing has really been affected. Everybody else is supportive of it. Nobody's talking about it behind their backs. All the conversations are very light and airy, and that's what we need. And we get Jesse just jumping into bed with them. He's the single guy. Yeah, I'm gonna hop in here. I'm gonna hang out with my boy and Sierra. Like, yeah, this is fun. That's good, because everybody likes each other right now. And again, Carl and Lindsay have their own shit going on, but it doesn't really seem to be bringing down everybody else, which is such a stark difference from last year.
Oh yeah, so different. But they FaceTime Carl, and they're just asking, you know, where are you? When are you going to be here? He's like 45 minutes out. Lindsay's in the room. Lindsay leaves.
Yeah.
Lindsay leaves mid-FaceTime with her fiancé.
Because she had a great time last night without him, so
now she bounces out of the room.
Oh, God, here comes the danger.
It was interesting, too, because, like, I wrote it down immediately. I was like, that's weird. I wonder if they think it's weird. And immediately when she leaves, all three of them are like, that was weird.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. I'm not crazy. That was a fucked up move.
It was very weird.
But this I didn't see coming. And I'm really curious to see how this will grow throughout the season. If we're going to see a shift in this as the season plays out, I wonder if the shift happened after the season, now that they're watching everything back, because not everybody's privy to every conversation. And I forget that. It's easy to forget that the scenes that we see, a lot of times the cast members don't see this shit until they watch the episode pretty much the same day that we do. They might get a screener like a week before, but for the most part, they're watching it in real time with us. So, like, if they're not involved in a scene, they don't know that people are talking shit. So I'm very curious as like when the shift happened, because I do believe that they're on Carl's side now. But in this scene, you get Paige and Amanda and Craig. Paige and Amanda feel bad for Lindsay. And
yeah.
They're blaming Carl for the lack of sex in the relationship. That's what the root of this conversation is. And again, as we're watching it at home, it's very clear why they're not having sex. Like, even if you take away who's to blame here, take that out of the equation entirely. If a couple is fighting like this, period, regardless of whose fault it is, they're not going to be having sex. They can't communicate. You're not going to get intimate if you hate each other. And again, that's not placing blame on either side. If a relationship is in this state months before you're getting married, about to make the biggest decision of your life, yeah, you're probably not boinking because you don't want to be around each other.
Yeah, I think this is just the moment. Maybe it's just a momentary thing. I really don't understand it, but Amanda and Paige feeling bad for Lindsay is very weird in itself.
Bizarre. They've never,
yeah,
ever.
And, but I think some of it was almost like, obviously it's like the shock value of it. And I don't think they were putting two and two together, comparing the whole relationship to their sex life and how the two go hand in hand or anything like that. I think they were like completely taken back and they don't really know how to feel because they just heard this from somebody else. And they know the state of the relationship is very bad. It's very rocky, all over the place, on both sides. So maybe they're just doing some sort of, you know, a girl-coded thing. Like,
maybe.
All right, yeah, let's talk to her a little bit more, because she just kind of dropped that bomb on us. And she didn't really seem to be upset about it, which I think is probably the most confusing part. It's not like Lindsay went into them and started talking about their sex life and was pissed about it or crying about it or anything like that. She was, like, stoic.
Yeah.
It was really weird. So I think that Amanda and Paige don't know how to feel about that. They feel bad for Lindsay and they want to talk to her a little bit more. But I think that it's really confusing for them because they're like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, but I think it mirrors exactly what happened when the news dropped last year.
Yeah.
And Lindsay came out and said this was blindsiding and it was a bombshell out of nowhere. And Carl called off the engagement. And he's a piece of shit. And so many people blindly rallied behind Lindsay without knowing the full story. I think we're seeing that happening in real time. I think they don't know everything that's going on. They're taking it at somewhat face value, understanding that they're also fighting, but listening to Lindsay's side of things. And, you know, they equate it to him being unmotivated. And I think that if there's something you can fault Carl for, like, yeah, sure. If she's getting frustrated because he isn't getting a job, he's kind of treading water, whatever. All right, fine. That's a reason that somebody could get flustered with a significant other. Sure. But this, to me, 100% feels like preseason. Everybody was talking shit without all the information. And I think that as we see the season play out, we're going to see a shift in what they think. I hope we see a shift in what they think.
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident now that it's very different. They don't have the same feelings about this whole situation, but it's going to be an interesting watch. Like, that's what I'm going to pay attention to the most, I think, is watching that crew, Paige and Amanda, who have never once been Team Lindsay, ever. I'm very curious to watch how that's going to shake out and when they're going to shift, if they're going to shift, why they shifted, what's going to be the big pivotal moment where they kind of see through this and go, oh, shit, this is way deeper than we thought it was. It's not just about sex.
Yeah, and I think it's just, obviously, it's us watching these episodes and overanalyzing everything because that's what we do. It's our job.
Yeah.
Them in real time, obviously, they don't have the benefit of hindsight and knowing that they eventually do break up like we do. So we're watching it from a completely different lens. They're almost like, oh, shit, like, they're going to go through with this marriage. It's not going well. We need to try to figure out at least what we can do. And Lindsay gave us that information. So let's try to sit down with Lindsay and break through it, because we want them to, maybe even if you don't like Lindsay, even if you hate, you know, Carl, you hate the entire relationship, whatever, if you're going to live with these two people in a house for the entire summer and you're going to see them every weekend, you want them to be good, because the rest of the house is going to get brought down if they're not.
Yeah.
So let's try to do what we can to help out. We'll do some girl stuff. Let's sit down and we'll talk to Lindsay about it and we'll do all this and that. And I know Paige says something a little bit later that identifies with quote unquote Team Lindsay, but I don't think it's really that at all. I think it's just they want the relationship to work and they know that the wedding is so close. They're going to try to help Lindsay through it because Lindsay's not getting help from anybody else, it looks like.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle. I think you're onto something there. It's going to play out. Like, we're going to see it happen.
We'll see how it happens. But
I'm curious to see how it happens. But Carl gets there and it does seem like the cycle is broken. Him and Lindsay are like actually happy to see each other despite her bailing on the FaceTime. But We get Craig and Sierra, and they're driving to go get some booze for the party, and they're talking about Paige. And, you know, where they stand now, it's a bunch of the same shit that we don't need to go over again. But Craig says, it's fun to see you, like, giggling and happy and doing that with a dude. And she's like, yeah, honestly, it's a lot of fun. And she brings up something that I really hadn't thought about. And it was kind of tough to hear. And I feel really bad for her. She's like, you know, because of the whole Austin situation and how embarrassing that was for me watching. And again, we get a flashback. Anybody out there that thinks that Lindsay is in any way redeemable for what she's doing now, this has always been her. This is not a Carl problem.
Yeah.
And for the people out there that are saying, well, Carl knew what he was getting into, to a certain extent, I guess. But at the same time, she was sober all of last year and they had that connection together and were seemingly working better together than they are now. If she wants to drink, that's her prerogative. But clearly it's not benefiting this relationship. Maybe they just needed to go their separate ways. But this has been her because she caused all of that shit with Austin and Sierra. And we flash back and I was like, oh my God, how did I forget about this? That was so fucked up and gross to watch. Like, we knew Sierra was into Austin. Austin was peak fuckboy that summer. That was his worst summer ever, admittedly, from him.
Yeah.
He said this in confessionals. He's like, yeah, I was really, really out of place there. So to flash back to that moment and then realize that Sierra, she's like, what people don't get is when this shit happens on TV, that was 2 years ago. It sticks with me. I still go out in public and people call me an idiot. People call me dumb. Things that I'm thinking about myself are being reiterated to me, which makes me feel about EA big, which that really sucks.
Yeah.
And it also sucks to hear Craig say, yeah, I would have let you know, but like, I didn't really know you that well back then. And I'm like, yeah, like, I get what you're saying. And, you know, Austin's your boy and you were definitely trying to like be a wingman. Just don't say that.
Yeah, probably keep that one just to yourself. But that, I mean, that's what you're going to get with Craig. Craig's going to tell you what he's thinking.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, you could have saved her and he didn't. Like,
but I also love that now because Craig has, obviously he's closer to Paige's friends and Paige and Sierra are really close. So I like that we get this interesting like duo going to get booze or just driving anywhere really because you get a weird conversation that you wouldn't get otherwise. And that brings it to a different level. And obviously you bring the Austin of it all in there. Craig knows Austin. Craig knows everything about that. He's been around this crew a lot. He knows Lindsay. He knows all of that. So I think we're getting, and we talked about this last week and the week before, with West and where Sierra is, maybe, you know, it could be coupling with the fact that she's been on the show for a couple of years and she's a little happier now. She's a little stronger in her role on the show, whatever it might be. She's sharing so much more. And it seems like every time that she sits down and starts talking about her personal experience, she hits the nail on the head.
She's great.
And it's just, it's really articulate. It really makes a lot of sense. It resonates with us and we understand a little bit better. And now moving forward, when something happens to Sierra, instead of being like, oh yeah, I have no idea how that makes her feel. I have no idea what happens in the back, you know, off camera, whatever might be happening when something goes down with Sierra, because we don't know enough about her. We're learning a lot more about her. So now we're going to feel and we're going to be emotionally invested in her.
Yep.
So the more that she shares, especially when it's as good as this, we're going to feel bad for you if something bad happens. Or we're going to feel really happy for you when something really good happens. So that's what we want to see. So whatever happened, it's pushed her forward and made her such a better, more intricate role on this show. And that's what we needed. And I feel like, again, it goes back to West and Jesse coming into the house. It brings everybody together.
Yeah.
This is a good cast. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, please.
Please leave it.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, I guess
you're going to have to make some decisions next season. There's some
decisions with Lindsay and Carl, but
Everybody else, don't touch everybody else.
Yeah.
Leave them.
Bring them back.
We've been waiting for this for years now.
Yeah, don't mess it up.
We get to race day, which was, God, this was a cool fucking party.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could have been at this party, man. It looked like so much fun. They got, like, go-karts. They got bikes to race around this little thing. And I fucking love this. Sierra is crucial to this season. And I love that she comes downstairs wearing a wacky, waving, inflatable, arm flailing tube man costume.
She was legitimately Lindsay Lohan and Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Showing up as, you know, the bride of Frankenstein when everybody else is wearing just like hot, slutty outfits.
Yeah.
She comes down in the wacky, inflatable, flailing arms tube man. Hilarious.
It was awesome. I was like, fuck yeah, that's the bet. You win the costume.
Everyone else is like, how hot can I look? Even the dudes, how hot can I look?
But that's the best part about Sierra is like, then halfway through the party, She takes it off and she looks better than everybody there.
Yeah, she's a fucking model.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to. She walks, like, I loved that. I thought that was so cool. But we get Paige and Amanda and they're talking about Kyle and Amanda's relationship. And she's like, how are you guys today? And she's like, yeah, we're fine. It just irritated me. And I think what this scene is indicative of is just she's reaching a limit with her frustration. So any little thing sets her off from Kyle because of this barrier between the two of them when it comes to communicating. And I don't know what's going to shift that. I don't know what's going to help them break through this, but there is a constant theme here where they're not seeing eye to eye. They are unable to connect on that level. So little things are causing big things. And I think it's a lot of little shit built up where, to her credit, we know what she wants. We are very aware. She wants to have a place in Jersey. She's ready to take that next step in their life as a family, this and that. We know where Kyle is. He is very, very hyper-focused on Loverboy. He's trying to set himself and Amanda and their family up so they don't have to worry about anything in the future.
Yeah.
While that is commendable, there is a certain point where, and I'm on Amanda's side here, where you have to shift a little bit to meet her halfway. She's made her needs very apparent. This is what I need. This is what I want. It is your job to find a middle ground, not tread water and stay in the same place, because that's what seems to happen. They bring it up, nothing changes, they get another fight. They bring it up, nothing changes, get another fight. Something has to give, and I don't think it's from Amanda's side. You can be frustrated that she's not putting in the hours that you want her to. You can be frustrated that whatever, but at the same time, you know what she wants. So what is the middle ground there? How do you take a step forward and help her out so that she can continue to put up with your shit? I love Kyle Cook. I think he's hysterical. I think he's a genuinely good dude. I think he puts his foot in his mouth sometimes, but I think his heart's in the right place. This is a moment where he needs to step up and make a decision for them. And I think that would go so far, not just with their relationship, but also solidifying it amongst the other cast members, because I don't love that their relationship is constantly talked about. I get it. I get why the other cast members have questions sometimes and are worried about Amanda and the relationship overall. But they're at a point now where they've been together for so long. They've been married for, what, 2-3 years now?
Yeah, 2.
I don't want them to always be a question mark. Like, I want to know what the future holds, and I think that it's apparent what they need to do.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And I also feel like it just kind of takes away from the show, too, which, I mean, we've been doing this for so goddamn long. They just get married. Every time that they take another step, it's like, all right, we're still, yeah, we can point out the different arguments that they have that seem to end a little quicker.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we've changed a little bit, kind of to an extent, but we're just doing the same old song and dance over and over with the two of them. The house is in a much better order when they're vibing and they know what each other want and they're good, or maybe they're not having to make big decisions. Maybe that's really what it is.
Well, they're the head of the house.
They are the head of the house. They get the best room every year. They know that. That's what they do. Fine. But I don't want to do this every single year where we have to sit down and all of a sudden it's Paige and Amanda are talking and we have to figure out what Kyle's doing, because we talked about it last year. Kyle wasn't really doing much and Amanda was still annoyed with him. She's just going to be annoyed with him here and there, whatever. She chose that. That's your husband. You're going to have to feel and figure it out. But we do see them for their individuality, and we can look at them and be like, I want them to be good.
I do, yeah.
So I want them to figure it out. And I'm tired of seeing them not communicate.
Yeah, same.
Because it's taking away from the goddamn show. But this is something that they need to work on. And whether that means they go to couples therapy or whatever the hell they're going to do, figure it out for our sake, please.
Please. Because we like when you guys are good.
Yeah, and we like you guys. We just want you to do good things.
Yeah, we want you to do good because we root for you. But Paige starts talking about the apartment and the fact that Craig offered to pay a little bit extra to maybe get a cooler spot in the city, because I'm sure 12 grand instead of 9 probably gets you 2 bedrooms instead of 1.
Sure.
But I honestly respect Paige's answer so much. And then she tells a story about, you know, I was with a guy and we were out in LA and I wanted to leave later. He wanted to leave early. And he said, when you buy the plane tickets, you can decide when we leave. And she said, I never wanted to have that feeling again where she wasn't in control of what she was able to do. She's like, I always want to stand on my own 2 feet, pay my own way, do my thing. If I want to go somewhere, I want to be able to go somewhere. Even if I'm in a relationship, even if I'm married, I want to have my own bank account. So if I want to buy things, I can buy things. I never want to be in a position where somebody can leverage money over me.
Yeah.
And I get that. And that's totally commendable. It's respectable.
Respectable. Yep.
Why does that sound like not a word right now?
It is a word.
We've been doing this for too long today.
Yeah.
We're getting to the point where words don't sound like words anymore. But it's very respectable. I get it. And that makes total sense to me. And I think, you know, there is a part of it from Craig's point of view where it would solidify the relationship a bit more just because he's investing in where they're living together. I get that. But at the same time, like, they're not married. And if she wants to do this on her own, I really, really respect her being independent and not wanting to do that.
Yeah, and I don't think this really speaks on their relationship or the current state of things or anything like that. I think it's just Paige is going to have her values and she's not going to sacrifice her values for really anything. I mean, she decided that a long time ago. Obviously, her and Craig are in a good place. They're taking it slow by their own words. Fine, whatever. But it's not like she's putting money into his house down in South Carolina. So why would Craig want to return the favor? And I think there is something to say about Craig wanting to be emotionally, wanting to be fiscally responsible or tie his money in with hers or something that she's doing, because then it does solidify where they are. If he's still doing that at this point, and we've had this goddamn conversation 75 times across two different shows, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
If he's just doing it because, look, I'm going to be spending 50% of the time up there, and I feel like I need to contribute in some way, shape, or form. And yeah, it would also be cool to have a nicer apartment up there instead of coming up there and just, you know, living in a studio apartment. Fine. That's good. To have that conversation with Paige, which he does a little bit later, that's all well and good. I don't really care. I just like to see that Paige is, you know, sticking in her values. And she wants to stay where she is and where she's comfortable. And yeah, you know, if you get married, you get engaged down the road, sure, you start sharing things financially, go for it. I don't really care. But for now, yeah, stick to your values.
And the funniest part is you can tell that they're over-talking about it and that producers are still pushing them to talk about it, because Craig is now answering with, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? I don't know. And we had him on the show, and he voiced this to us. He's like, you know, it gets to a point where it's like, why do we have to continue to talk about this?
Yeah.
But
and then we get to a point where we go, why do we have to keep talking about this?
Yeah, like, they're cool. Leave them alone. When they make a move,
you'll know about it. You'll be the first to know.
Yeah, we'll find out. But for the time being, stop fucking.
At this point, they're filming together for like 8 months out of the year. So there's a 4 month window there where they might do something that you guys don't know about, but chances are we're going to find out.
Yeah, just drop it. But
hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
We get to the bike race. West needs to thank Kyle for pushing him off the bike.
Why?
Because he looks cool.
He gets up, he does,
he's got blood coming down, he takes it like a champ.
Those glasses were a fucking hazard.
I know, they cut the shit out of him.
Could have cut his eye out.
I couldn't believe how much he bled.
I know.
What's that movie? He's a bleeder.
He's a bleeder.
What is that from? Fucking Roadhouse.
Yeah.
That's from Roadhouse, yeah. You know
what?
You know what your problem is? You're a bleeder. You bleed too much. Oh, God, I need to go back and watch. That's a
great one.
Did you watch the new one?
No.
Entertaining.
I don't think I'm
It's an entertaining watch.
I love Roadhouse, the original. I don't think I want to.
But that's the thing. It's not Roadhouse, the original.
Well, I know.
They try to make it Roadhouse, the original. They try to make it the same universe-ish, just like the same vibe. It's if you're hungover on a Sunday and you order your shitty food and do your thing, your Sunday thing, and you text me mean things because you're hungover.
You know what I do on Sundays when I'm hungover now?
You text me mean
now?
Things.
I don't text you mean things. I don't text you.
If I text you, this is what happens. Because
he'll
like,
text me multiple times on a Sunday and just goes, you good?
Yeah, I want to make sure you're okay, one. And two, it's like...
But then if I say yes, you're going to be like, all right, why such a short answer?
Yeah, because I like to fuck with you. But like, this is the initial response from hungover Magooter. Yo, man, I'll bring up something that we have to do that week or something. But I'll just start it out with, yo, what do you want? Is the response every time. What do you want?
I don't do that. I haven't done that.
I'll screenshot.
I haven't done it.
Bullshit.
Anyway, no, what I'm watching.
You're gaslighting me.
What I'm watching on Sundays now, but I'm hungover, is I told you, I'm going back and watching Roni.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I watch more. I think I'm almost done season 7.
Holla.
I have to check. Holla.
But back to the.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore. I got yelled at though.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
No, I just because I do it every episode.
You know who's asking a lot of questions about it?
Los.
Los.
Yeah.
Los, let me just.
Hey, come to a show and I'll tell you in person.
Until you come to one of our shows, because you have no-showed us three times? He claims to have been at the one in L.A.
Fuck no.
We didn't see him. You didn't see him. So I don't believe you. You sent us a half-assed picture that you could have gotten from anybody.
Yep.
Until you come to our show, we're not talking to you anymore.
Agreed.
We're not going to bring you up.
Yep.
Then you were a fan favorite, sir. So take that for what you will.
Is he a fan favorite?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore, because you don't show your face.
You mean like our fan favorite or like the fans like Los?
I wonder. Well, we haven't talked about him recently because, you know, I'm cooling on him.
Cooling on Los.
Cooling on Los. But we get the scene with Sierra and West, and she's, you know, helping clean up his nose a little bit. And she brings up the Austin thing. And this is why they're so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Because in a confessional, West is like, you know, it's moments like this where she's vulnerable and opening up where you can really connect with somebody. And, you know, Sierra says, like, I'm just not a good judge of character on when it comes to Austin. Like, I kind of got blindsided by it. I felt like an idiot. West is very receptive. And I think that's what sets him apart from a lot of dudes that we've seen on the show is his empathy.
Yeah.
Like, he actually listens and responds.
He's such a good dude.
He's a great dude. You're just saying that because he has a mustache, but
maybe.
Yeah, you guys.
No. The way that I saw this conversation going, he pretty much took the approach of, yeah, you dated a shithole, whatever, yeah. You know,
a shithole.
Yeah, Austin the shithole. You like that one?
No, funny.
I don't know why that's a new word. I'm just playing around with that. Whatever.
A shithole refers to a place.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you could.
Texas, is a very nice place.
Austin.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't want people to misconstrue that.
Oh. Yeah, no. He's talking about the person.
West was taking the approach of like, yeah, you dated an asshole. Is that better for you?
I had no issue with shithole. Okay, I just needed clarification.
You dated an asshole in the past, but, you know, I understand. And, you know, thank you for telling me.
Yeah, is
the approach. And that's the right approach. So, good dude.
Yeah, he is
a great stash.
But we get back to Craig and Paige. We're not going to talk about it because it's the same shit that we've already talked about. But moving on from there, we get Paige, Lindsay, and Amanda. And this scene was interesting again.
Yeah.
Because they flat out say to her, like, we saw a different side of you that day where you really opened up to us. And thank you for being so honest and so vulnerable. She wasn't.
I don't. Yeah.
It's not honest and vulnerability. That's just her throwing Carl under the bus.
It was.
That's what I see.
I don't think it was honesty and vulnerability. I think she was just rambling. It wasn't like she was coming to them for advice. She wasn't coming to them to share some intimate thing about their relationship to see if maybe they could take it a different way or try to help her through it. She just was talking.
Yeah.
She just said it. Like, she did. I don't think
she even goes, I didn't think it was that deep.
Yeah. Like, that's what was so confusing about it. And you see Paige and Amanda, like, again, they wanted to talk to her because they're so fucking confused. Like,
yeah.
The idea of Lindsay confiding in Paige and Amanda makes zero sense after years and years of watching this. It just doesn't make any sense. So they're as confused as we are. Lindsay's confused because she doesn't think that she was being vulnerable.
I know.
She was just like, yeah, I was just talking. Seemed normal. So that's where I battle with this, because I don't know if Lindsay's just dropping a bomb in here. Like, oh, maybe people are going to come over to my team and see my side of things if I say that I'm not having sex with Carl. But the way that she's talking, like, she's just so laissez about it. A little
laissez-faire.
Yeah. Well, you're going to Italy. I don't know why. Whatever.
It's also not laissez. It's laissez-faire.
Whatever, dude.
You're the one that said it.
Anyway.
Quick dig at the French.
No, I have whatever. But she's doing all this, and like, nobody really understands what the hell's going on.
No.
I think that's really the thing to take away from this. Paige sitting there and saying, look, I'm going to say something that I've never said before.
I'm Team Lindsay.
I'm Team Lindsay on this one. Weird.
It's
really weird. I don't like watching that. I felt dirty seeing that. Amanda is listening intently. Lindsay's fucking confused because she doesn't think it's that big of a deal. I don't know what the hell's going on. Where is everybody else? Let's get away from this.
I don't know. I will say this, because everyone, like, we've had a couple of comments where people are like, the Lindsay hates too much. It's not even hate. It's just trying to understand the situation. And I can say this about this situation. I actually appreciate that they're trying to help guide her through this in regards of, hey, if this is too fast, it's a much better idea to call it off now rather than get divorced in 2 months. I appreciate that they are trying to have a conversation with her, and that's not Lindsay hate at all. Like, I I'm glad that they're able to set their differences aside to have a constructive conversation about the future. Because, look, everyone obviously knows how I feel about Lindsay. I hate watching this season because I think that it's dangerous for Carl. But at the same time, they would be so much better off apart. And I think that everybody in the house knows that, and they're trying their best to voice that without flat out saying that, because immediately after this, we get the dudes with Carl, and Carl's like, you know, this is what breaks my heart, because we base things that we talk about off of what we see, right? We're given the evidence on a show. I'm sure there's more behind the scenes, and we're not privy to that information, but we base it off of what we see. What we have seen is Carl get berated and broken down. And in this scene with the dudes, he's like, you know, I've learned that it's okay that I can take accountability and responsibility and maybe go to anger management. And Thank God, Jesse, who has no business speaking up because he hasn't been there, but because of his approach to the matter, it's not taken the wrong way, because he does it in a gentle enough way where, and it's actually almost more warranted because he's not been around it. Whereas other people can be jaded or biased one way or the other. Jesse's looking at it with a fresh set of eyes. So he's
right.
Like, you know.
Honestly, between Jesse saying that and then Craig sitting down and saying, it seems like you're just making concessions.
Yeah.
For the sake of trying to save this. Are you getting anything in return? Like, everybody's concerned.
That's
everybody's watching Carl. And like, we're concerned because we're watching Carl, and Carl's talking about, you know, I learned this in couples therapy. I haven't heard Lindsay once refer to couples therapy except for to stop a fight.
Yeah, we can talk
about that in couples therapy. Like, she's not really, it doesn't seem like she's taking anything that they're learning or trying to move past or trying to fix anything. Carl's doing everything. Carl's not showing up on Friday. Lindsay's making excuses for why he's not there. Everybody knows why he's not there. Carl's taking matters into his own hands to try to avoid things. He's going to couples therapy. He's trying to practice the things that he's learning. He's thinking about taking anger management, which, look, a lot of people are saying, we don't know what happens when the cameras aren't there. We don't know what happens in the car, whatever. You can surmise just based off of the way that we've seen these behaviors and the people that we know. Like, yes, we've seen Carl in the past blow off. But we've seen Lindsay do it way more often, and she's doing it consistently. So put it together. There's so many things that Carl's trying to do, and I haven't once seen, even in this moment, when they're doing the side-by-side where Lindsay's talking to the girls, she's not talking to them about not having sex because she wants to help the relationship. I don't know why she's doing it. She doesn't know why she's doing it. She's just talking at this point. So it's broken. Everybody can see that it's broken. The guys are just trying to help Carl because they love Carl and they're friends with Carl. I don't really know what the hell's going on here, and it's just really tough to watch Carl trying to do everything in his power to fix it, and you don't see that from the other side.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think that's where I get so frustrated, especially when I read the comments that are like, I can't believe that you're like defending Carl and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just watch. Watch what's happening on the screen. Watch a guy trying to take accountability for something he hasn't done wrong. And then watch on the flip side, Lindsay's not putting in any work. If you want to take everything else out of it, what's happening behind closed doors, all of this other shit, if you think that this relationship looks different behind closed doors, I don't think you're watching intently enough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, take that out of it. Let's watch what the conversations are when it comes to their relationship. On one side, you get Carl doing everything under the sun, talking to his parents, his therapist, his friends on how to fix this, what he's doing to move forward. Look at Lindsay talking to people. Carl doesn't have sex with me. What are you doing to fix things? Nothing. We'll talk about it in couples therapy. That's the big thing. And, you know, Jesse finishes it with, it just feels very soon to get married given the circumstances right
now.
And he said it perfectly. And I'm curious if this is the moment where we're going to see things really shift towards a separation between these two. Because I think there's going to be a pivotal moment at some point where because we know how it happens.
Uh-huh.
The last talk was never supposed to be a breakup. Carl has said that he went into it to have a difficult conversation. It got ramped up and it ended with them breaking up. So we're going to see that. But at some point, we're going to see a major shift where it's no longer, how do we fix this? It's going to be, oh, fuck, this is not fixable.
Yeah.
So I'm curious when that's going to happen. It's got to be soon.
Got to be soon. But we can see all the seeds being planted here and there. And
yeah.
Eventually, everything's going to break.
Yeah.
Because the guys are going to get tired of telling Carl over and over again what they think he should do, or trying to give him some advice and not really seeing him take that in stride. And then the girls are going to realize, oh, shit, we shouldn't be Team Lindsay.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. But either way, it's still a really good season.
It's a great season. Yeah. It's a great season. The dichotomy of the two things happening, a super fun house with a super serious problem in the house, is it's interesting to watch. It's heartbreaking at times, but it's interesting. Questions.
Let's move on to some questions. I don't really understand this one, but from Jen in the City 83, do you think Kyle pushed West on purpose? I mean, yeah, he pushed him on purpose.
He didn't mean
but to. Like, was no,
he
winning? He
was trying to draw blood.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to kill him.
But yeah, he clearly pushed him on purpose because that's what happened.
That's great.
Great question, though. I love that one.
Yeah. From Ashley Krolchek, Paige saying she's Team Lindsay. Do you think she'll flip at the reunion? Probably. Paige does that.
Oh, do you think it's a reunion flip? Well, that's after the season, so yeah.
It's after the season, so yeah, obviously, I think we're going to see that. They still haven't filmed the reunion yet, so... Mm-hmm.
I think it'll happen.
That'll be interesting. Will that be the first time that Carl... Well, I guess he still pays for the apartment, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, no, I think she'll do the full page flip at the reunion, because she always does that.
I would imagine, but I think that we're going to see it before that. I think something's going to happen where people are going to go, oh, shit.
Yeah. Something a little lighter here from Zach Mellon. Who has the best chest hair, Carl, Jesse, or Craig?
Ooh. Mm.
I think Carl.
Probably Carl.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's not too long.
No.
But it's Jesse. Jesse's got the concave chest. That's his claim to fame.
That is his claim to fame. I think chest hair with guys is it's a slippery slope, though.
It is.
You have really good chest hair, it probably means you got some back hair. You got to deal with that.
No.
So you want to do the...
Dude, let me tell you. Because I think I have like a good amount. I think I have the perfect amount of chest hair.
Okay.
And I
asked. Did your wife tell you that or are you just?
Because I asked that frequently. Right. I'm like, hey, you have to let me know. I don't want to be that guy that looks like I'm wearing a sweater. She goes, nope, it's like the great amount. But I don't have back hair, except I get one fucking patch right in the center of my back, right above my shirt line.
Right where that guy puts his hand on you?
Right where the dude.
That's from a different show.
That was Martha's Vineyard. But no, I get this one annoying patch, and I always tell Dev, I'm like, hey, you got to let me know when the patch is patchy, because it's a bad look.
Got to get rid of it, yeah. From Angel Renee, do you get the vibe that Jesse doesn't care for Kyle?
No, I don't at all.
I mean, I could see why you might just be like, yeah, he might just be appeasing him and whatever, but I mean, Jesse's a nice guy, so I could see him doing the whole, I'm going to be nice at face value, but like really deep down, I don't really give a shit about Kyle. But I don't really get that from this. No, I think Jesse likes everybody in the house. We'll do one more here from the Mellow Knee, and we have to clear this up. Can the bros offer West a job so that he can afford the summer house next summer?
I will post this clip now that it's been revealed that he got let go from Bleacher Report, right?
Bleacher Report.
He has a new job with Complex, Complex Sports. He said it's a little more pop culture-y, but he enjoys it a lot. I saw it on a story today. He was with the God damn it. He's on ESPN a lot talking about football. Oof.
Dan Orlovsky?
No. He used to
Shannon
play football.
Sharp?
No.
So did Dan Orlovsky.
Fuck. Whatever. Yes, he has a job with Complex Sports. Yeah. He's doing fine.
And that's all I got. You got anything?
No, but I can't wait to get my iPad back so I can ask that question because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you don't have anything. That's why I feel the way that I feel.
Yeah,
you
but...
throw it to me and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like it on this side of things.
A little selfish.
You're selfish.
Maybe this will teach you a little bit of perspective so that when you do get the iPad back,
you
can look at me and instead of saying, hey, you got anything?
What high horse did you ride it on? As you wipe your nose all snootily.
No, I was going to make a really bad joke, so I'm just not going to.
Yeah, don't, because nobody wants to hear it. You got anything else?
Nope.
Oh, that would have been a good time for your joke.
Yeah.
Rob Bros are out here.
Bye.
Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers.
And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.